Name, image, likeness, the transfer portal, Tennessee's 2023 recruiting class, all that to be discussed and where Tennessee stack up against the rest of the country, both in name, image, and likeness and in this cycle of 2023 recruiting. John Garcia, our guy John Garcia of Sports Illustrated, joins us here for a Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into this edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. If you're new to the show, welcome to it. This is your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast each and every weekday morning. It's on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal. Also write for the rival site that covers Tennessee. That is VolQuest.com. And today we're going to talk a lot of name, image, and likeness, a lot of big picture stuff, and then break down some of these 2023 commits and 2023 targets for the University of Tennessee. And to help us out doing all that, a friend of the program and a friend of the Locked On Podcast Network, John Garcia, the director of recruiting for Sports Illustrated. John, welcome back to the show, man.
Good to be on with you again, Eric. It's like every time we connect, there's a whole lot of Tennessee targets making moves. So, yeah, always good to get in an update and see where things stand. But obviously things are trending up, so let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. And there's been a lot of news this week and, you know, really last week carried on over to this week in the early portion. Name, image, and likeness. You have SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. You have other commissioners. You have university presidents and athletic directors urging Congress to step in and intervene and make the NCAA kind of guidance, channel in name, image, and likeness. NCAA came out sweeping declaration earlier this week, new guidelines, but ultimately literally nothing changed, saying that maybe they'll go back and punish some schools. Probably not, but here are the rules again for you. Just try to follow them better. Your whole take on name, image, and likeness and the lack of, I guess, the attempt in trying to wrangle it in here 10 months in.
Yeah, those are the two main points I took away from it, Eric. One, the retroactive policing I thought was comical at best from the NCAA. So this was borderline legal or gray area, and now we're going to go back and say, oh, this is totally wrong. Good luck trying to prove that on their end. And then, yeah, elsewhere, not going to be a whole lot of change in my mind. I think the players in NIL, which of course include Tennessee, A&M, USC, all these guys, they're going to remain the same. I don't really see a whole lot of difference in their approach. They are already utilizing compliance. They were already utilizing, third parties. I mean, this is just par for the course with NIL. So nothing really changes here. The best operate in the gray areas, and they will continue to do so. I applaud the coaches and ADs and the commissioners for trying to get this above the NCAA's head. But obviously, the overcorrection that we always see from this group is afoot, and people are laughing about it. And really, it kind of hurts them the most. Is another takeaway. It's like, if this pushes you one step further to leaving the NCAA altogether, why put this in less than a year after opening the door of NIL in the first place? So there's just a lot of hypocrisy thrown in there as well, which is, right on par for the NCAA.
Yeah, or else, right? So, or else what? Yeah. I mean, you're going to leave. Yeah, right. There's so much money you're making right now. And again, this is a conversation that, everybody's talked about, dating back to a couple of years ago that, could the Power Fives break away from the NCAA? Could the SEC, get Texas and Oklahoma and a couple other ones and break away from the NCAA? All that's still in play, maybe for the future. In my opinion, nothing's going to happen in the short term. It just kind of is what it is. And what do you make about all this with, it seems like, and it's athletic directors, presidents, the outspoken head coaches for needing to wrangle all this in kind of come from the big players around the country. It's the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, though, he's not in the same situation as some of those others, but he's coached at Southern Cal. He's coached at Alabama before. In my mind, it's kind of like you see that gap, being closed with teams like Tennessee, and the big players are not really happy about it. It's kind of, you said it best. I think it's hypocrisy at its best, really, because it's, you don't want anybody looking at your program, but you're upset when the other ones are catching up.
Yeah, and let's also not pretend that, it's always been like that in college football. You've always had this group here and this group trying to close the gap. And one way to do it is through any, you know, legal ways possible. And now NIL has been one of those vehicles to begin to close the gap. And we're starting to see it in recruiting. We certainly are seeing it in the transfer portal as well. And yeah, so those schools that are already at the top certainly are never going to like any of those changes, because in theory, it pushes towards parity. But look, this is college football. It's really never been about parity. It's been about the top of each conference. And those are the schools that really drive the conversation. The stories are fun thereafter. You know, the climb of a Tennessee, an A&M, a USC, a Miami, that's fun for all of us to talk about and track. So in the meantime, it's always going to bother those at the top that are used to dominating the headlines and the attention. And I think in this day and age, Eric, they're just more likely to actually talk about it and voice those opinions and try to create some action thereafter. But they're also benefiting from some of these same things that they're complaining about. So another thing that's a bit par for the course. But in general, I always want more attempts, I should say, for parity, right? Pushing more programs to the top of the mountain, if at all possible, is always going to be something that the masses want collectively. So pushing against that is always going to be a little bit unpopular. And naturally, you know, a Jimbo Fisher type starts to open his mouth and say, hey, you know, this is not happening when we know it. You know, that is just, you know, something we see across the board with college head coaches. And it's starting to stretch beyond that group as well. So I don't think much will change. I agree with you.
You know, 10 months into this name, image, and likeness era, collectives are becoming, you know, more and more, you know, prevalent. You've got hundreds, you know, of collectives popping up, some way more successful and further along than others. I think the leader in the clubhouse, and this isn't just, you know, tooting the home team's horn here, but one of the leaders in the clubhouse has to be the Spire Sports Group here in Knoxville. It's a bunch of guys that used to run an agency here in town and are super, super smart and, you know, started this collective, and it's really benefiting the University of Tennessee, obviously. From an outsider's perspective, seeing what Spire has done with its startup collective here, benefiting the University of Tennessee, how does that compare, in your opinion, to some of the other collectives around the country? And obviously the collective being started up trying to replicate what Spire is doing right now in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, it's right up there, Eric. Like you said, it's not any homerism or anything. It just is what it is. When you start to hear about these collectives first at certain schools, it has to be out in the forefront. And this is something that is really aligning with some of the changes we're seeing on the recruiting trail and NIL in general. It has to come from these groups first. I mean, the coaches can want it and hope for it, but the groups have to be established thereafter. And when you talk about the ones that we hear about the most, whether it's in coaching circles, certainly in recruiting circles, the conversation really begins with Tennessee. We've heard A&M, but we're hearing Oregon a lot more now. Miami is starting to get into that picture. USC has been in that picture as well. And others are trying to get there. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, as we mentioned, some of those complaining are trying to put the same things together. But some of them were just a bit ahead of the game. And I think that's where Tennessee stands in the NIL deal. That's the first school recruit has brought it up to me about. I was certainly getting educated about it when we all were. But the first program that I heard associated with it from a recruit's mouth was, in fact, Tennessee. You know, so I think that stuff matters. That stuff is tangibly it's tangibly important in recruiting in order for you to track who is making an impact. That's what I was trying to say. It's just like when a school unveils a new facility or unveils a new stadium or new uniforms, whatever. When you dig into those reactions, when they start to come to you unsolicited, that is when you start to feel the impact in recruiting. And that's what we're seeing at Tennessee. I certainly think that others are trying to duplicate what's going on there. They're put together a little bit differently, but I think groups that have that cohesion that Tennessee has from even before it was an NIL collective are obviously able to hit the ground running that much more. And that's why, you know, Tennessee and some of these others we've talked about are a little bit ahead of the curve compared to others. And now everyone's trying to catch up.
Yeah, name, image, likeness. It's all over the news right now. It has been last week, has been this week. And Tennessee, of course, leading the way. One of the few who are leading the way in that regard. Doing very, very well, thanks to the Spire Sports Group. We'll come back with John and chat with him a little bit more. Get into some specifics on some Tennessee targets, both at the prep level and via the transfer portal coming up here on Locked On Vols. But I want to tell you about those Built Bars. Summer It's here. You've got those adventures you're going to be going on. You need to throw some Built Bars in your backpack, in your kid's backpack, because you're always going to be looking for a healthy alternative snack to those candy bars and some of those just snacks that aren't good for you while you're out on those summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and they're delicious. So many different selections. You got the cookies and cream, the cherry, the coconut almond, all that available at Built.com. And they're 100% real chocolate as well. They're good for you. About 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. You compare that to a normal candy bar that's sitting somewhere around 240 calories. It's just not good for you. So during these summer adventures, during these summer months when you're out on the water, the lake, the river, the pool, maybe even the beach, throw those Built Bars in your bag, and that can be your mid-afternoon snack. All that and more, you can find it at Built.com. While you're there, put in LOCK15, and you're going to get in 15% more or more on your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is all at Built.com. Hey, welcome back into your Friday edition of Locked On Vols, your team every single day. And we've got our guy on, John Garcia of Sports Illustrated, here to chat with us here today about a little Tennessee recruiting and via the transfer portal. We're going to hit both of those here at the prep level and the transfer portal here in segment number two. John, let's start with Roderick Robinson. We discussed him a little bit the last time we chatted. A big running back from the state of California. He was in town kind of on an East Coast swing last week. He visited with Auburn, visited with Tennessee. He has both of those two teams in his top six, along with the likes of Arizona, UCLA, and Cal, and Oregon, too. What do you make of Tennessee being in the top six for a four-star running back in Roderick Robinson?
Well, this kid looks like an SEC running back, Eric, like the old school variety, you know, 6'1", 230. I was talking to a source who was around one of those visits, and he was like, yeah, he's legitimately 6'1", 230 pounds. So this is a big physical back that certainly fits that mold a little bit more than the Pac-12, although the Pac-12 is trying to keep him out on the West Coast. Really interesting here. You know, I was looking in on Roderick's recruitment a little bit. He's got ties to the South. You know, he grew up in South Carolina. His dad's from Birmingham, so he certainly has some ties to the state of Alabama with Auburn, and then obviously the border state with Tennessee. And he took those trips to kind of solidify his feelings on those two programs, both in need of a big downhill type of running back, something he's clearly aware of. So I do think the SEC schools are going to stay in this race for quite a while. The Pac-12 is going to be there as well. I think of that group, I'd probably keep an eye on Oregon most consistently. You know, they've done really well at Lincoln High School in San Diego, signed a pair of recruits out of there last year. They have been really active in recruiting Roderick to be kind of the next, you know, San Diego native to head up to Eugene and play for the Ducks. So I think they'll be the top threat among the Pac-12 programs. And he's got a commitment date of August, I believe, 18th. So he's going to pop in the middle of August. So we know there's probably going to be official visits in between now and then. So the beauty of a top six is that if you take all five officials, Eric, you're going to eliminate one school for us. So I would expect that to happen with one of those Pac-12 programs, probably not Oregon. I think Tennessee and Auburn could both potentially get official visits. And then I think we'll see where this recruitment is at that point. But there's no doubt that Tennessee's got the need there, and they've got the unofficial visit now in the bag. So next step for Vols fans, see if you can grab one of those official visits, because there's a lot of time between now and that preseason verbal commitment date for Roderick. And obviously he's a kid all the way in California, so kind of hard to just pop in and check out Knoxville one more time. Same deal for Auburn fans. Can you get him back on campus for an OV? And if you can, then it's game on.
Yeah, Josh Heupel wants a bigger running back. Tennessee very much had no answer for short yardage situations last year in his first season at Tennessee. So maybe if you have a bigger back, maybe that is at least a better option when you need to go get 1 yard, a couple inches. Tennessee hadn't gone under center an awful lot. In fact, they went under center one time last year, and it resulted in a touchdown. Wow. They were like on the inch yard line. So that was good to see. Maybe with a back like that, you would do that a little bit more. But of course, he's more than just a short yardage back. But I do think that he could be an option if he were to come to Tennessee in that type of situation. To the transfer market, last week when we spoke, Tennessee, when the time that we recorded, it was impending that they were going to sign Brew McCoy. But the time that this episode aired, it actually already happened. Brew McCoy comes to Tennessee, wide receiver. So that fills a big-time need for Tennessee. He's going to line up opposite of Cedric Tillman, the two big-body wide receivers for Josh Heupel in this offense. You like the options you have in the slot right now, but Tennessee in the market to potentially bring in a familiar face for Josh Heupel and his staff, UCF transfer wideout Jalen Robinson. He came on a visit last weekend, and I believe he's going to Miami this upcoming weekend. I could see maybe a decision next week. If not next week, maybe the week after. I think that he's going to get it done soon, but I don't think he's in, you know, a huge, huge hurry in terms of like right now. But regardless, that would be a big time get. Familiarity, speed from the slot, different type of wide receiver. What are you hearing on Jalen Robinson and the likes of Tennessee?
Yeah, he's taken several visits. As you mentioned, Tennessee is the most recent as we record this. Miami will be the most recent thereafter. I think both of those are easy to sell in terms of what they need as maybe the final piece of the puzzle at Tennessee. You mentioned it. I mean, Tillman and McCoy, you've got your trees on the outside, right? Your boundary receivers are locked up, and you do have speed with Hyatt potentially in the slot. But I think Robinson brings something different to the table. He's got he's a quicker than fast type, but he can absolutely fly on the back end as well. But really polished route runner. I think that's the biggest difference between the two. He's a more compact player as well. And as you mentioned, he's got a ton of familiarity with Josh Heupel and company, ran the exact same system at UCF when they overlapped together there. But I thought what was interesting after the Tennessee visit is that he said, one, they were selling him on all the non-football elements of the process, which maybe can lead to some confidence coming from Josh Heupel in terms of selling him on the football side. But two, when it did come to the football side, they said that they've expanded on some of those schemes that they've implemented at UCF, where they obviously had a ton of success before he got the UT job. So he said an expansion of what he already knows is really intriguing from a schematics standpoint, because everywhere else he's going to have to learn different variations of a spread type of offense. I do think that Ole Miss is going to factor in to this decision. You know, that was the visit where he was in the car with Lane Kiffin. Everyone saw that, the Rolls Royce, and Lane was telling him that he needed to transfer in. So I do think Ole Miss is going to factor in. He was there for the spring game. TCU also got a visit. You know, he is a Texas native, but our sources around Jalen from day one were like, he is not coming back to Texas. So I don't know if any TCU fans will listen, but you probably shouldn't get your hopes up on that front. Could have been more of a courtesy, although there is a new coaching staff there at TCU as well. So I do right now feel like it's an SEC battle between Tennessee and Ole Miss, water bottle jokes aside. But I do wonder if Miami can factor in. I mean, they're competing with NIL. They're overhauling their entire offense under Josh Gattis, who just won the Broyles Award for the top assistant in college football. And they need juice on the outside. It's really not something they had on the roster last year. And they've really looked to the portal to try to compensate for that. But just like Tennessee, they've brought in big bodies, not necessarily somebody who could take the top off of a defense or factor even into the return game like a Jalen Robinson can. So curious to see how Miami's pitch materializes so close to what we think is a mid-May decision. But I think Tennessee's in really good shape at this point. Today, Ole Miss is the top threat, but I could see Miami taking that second spot before all is said and done.
First of all, that's a mustard bottle in terms of the jokes. And second of all, Jalen Robinson.
My bad.
Yeah, get it right now. If you're going to throw it out there, you got to get it right. And Jalen Robinson had a really, really good 2020 season. Of course, that's the last time that he and Josh Heupel, you know, were together, I guess. Really productive 2020 season in that COVID-shortened year. So obviously, I do believe that if you expand on that, if you were to come to Tennessee, it would be a good match. Last one here in segment two, I want to ask you about an in-state prospect, Bryson Sanders. We spoke on him a little bit. I mean, he's a guy that's been to Tennessee a ton of times. I mean, he's just a little over an hour down the road, right? So anytime there's a big recruiting event, he's there. He's come to a couple of games the last couple of years. He was on spring practice, or he was up for spring practice for one of those days. And when I was speaking to him a couple of weeks ago, he said, hey, I'm not going to take an official visit to Tennessee. They're very much right in it for me. But, I mean, I've been here so much. I already have a good feel. And even after that conversation, I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign for Tennessee. That has since changed. He will be up here on Memorial Day weekend taking his OV. That's got to be good news for Tennessee looking to bring in another interior offensive lineman. And again, it's an in-state kid, so that adds even more pressure for Bryson Sanders.
Yeah, Tennessee's done a really nice job in-state this year, and it's a really strong year. You know, I'm actually going up to Nashville this weekend for an Elite 11 camp, but there's a lot of talent in the state of Tennessee that I've been looking into, and Bryson is kind of the class of the offensive line group. So keeping him within state lines, I think, is going to be pivotal for Tennessee. But yeah, until that official visit was set, it was, you can kind of build the argument for some of the other contenders, right? Oklahoma, Ole Miss, LSU, the others. They will also get officials. Ole Miss already got theirs, I believe, for the spring game, same weekend Jalen Robinson was there, ironically enough. But really, the ball could be back in Tennessee's court. I know they sent coaches out to the school at Baylor to check him out this past week as well. So I think he's feeling that kind of consistency with Tennessee, which sometimes is just as important as taking the visits themselves. But I think with a kid who's committing in a month here in June, I do think that getting that extra 48-hour intimate visit on campus could be a deal sealer in the end, because Bryson has kind of – you know, every visit he's taken, especially the OVs, you talk to him that day, and I talked to him after the Ole Miss trip, and it was like, man, I think Ole Miss might grab this kid. But since then, you know, he kind of tones back down, comes off of that visit high. So I'm curious to see, you know, when he takes these other trips, how he feels. But all things even, you got to feel good about Tennessee's chances. Not only have they done incredibly well in state, very attractive developing offense to play for. And again, that familiarity has to stand for something. And you're getting another official there at the 11th hour. So all those things stack up pretty well for Bryce. And I think he'll take the trip less than 2 weeks, around 2 weeks before he makes that verbal commitment. So the timing is rock solid there too.
All right, we'll have more with John here coming up in the final seven of Locked On Vols. A couple more things we're going to hit for him. But I want to let you know about our partners at betonline.net. They continue to be the number one source for all your sports betting information, sports needs. You can find all the latest odds, the news, and sports developments, including the year of a basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, flights, even the next season of NFL, Monday Night Football lines. All that and more is at betonline.net. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports to a whole lot more. You can head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about all the latest trends in the action. Get those futures in and your play for tonight with baseball, the NBA playoffs. Look at the ice as well. NHL playoffs are getting up and going. Put some coin in your pocket. Put your sports knowledge to use. All that at betonline.net. Betonline.net, it is where the game starts. Just a couple of minutes left here on this edition of Locked On Vols, and we do it with our guy John Garcia of Sports Illustrated. Another fun conversation here on Locked On Vols. Becoming a regular, and hey, the listeners and the viewers, they're enjoying your content, John, just so you know.
No, it's a pleasure. I love talking SEC and Tennessee in general. That fan base will let you know how they feel quickly, and I like it. That's how I came up, and that's how I like to operate nowadays. So always a pleasure to be on.
Maybe not to the extent of what I'm about to say, or at least what I'm about to compare this to, but we're getting to that point now to where, at least for me, people are asking me on a weekly basis, you know, hey, what's up with Carnell Tate? Can I get a Carnell update? It's like, hey, what's the latest on Nico? You know, what's Nico saying right now? You know, kind of leading up to when he was going to commit. Carnell Tate, five-star wide receiver, IMG Academy. Certainly there's some other big players in hand, but, you know, his mother tweeting at Kelsey Pope, Tennessee's wide receivers coach, wishing him happy birthday. Ball fans love that. It continues to feel like Carnell Tate is vibing more towards the Big Orange. It's not done. I still think it's about 6-7 weeks away, potentially, before he commits anywhere. But your thoughts on where Carnell Tate stands this week regarding Tennessee?
Yeah, it's hard to ignore some of those public signs. Obviously, the kid is very close to his mom. And look, this recruitment has totally flipped. I mean, and it's happened probably more than once, right? You know, in the fall, Notre Dame, Ohio State, SEC has no chance kind of deal. Boom, coaching carousel flips everything on its head. And then he gets into this year, into the spring, and all of a sudden here comes Tennessee and LSU, where he's taken his first couple of official visits. Both programs, you know, increasing in the confidence department. You know, I was talking to a source around Tate at IMG yesterday, and he said, look, man, Tennessee and LSU could be the top two in this thing, which is so far away from where we thought this thing was just really a couple weeks ago, much less a couple of months ago. I do think Ohio State's got staying power. That's the childhood dream school. We all know what Ohio State's done at the wide receiver position. Maybe the longer this thing goes, the better for Ohio State, but the quicker he comes to a decision, I'd probably put my ball more in the Tennessee and LSU court. But another SEC school is going to make a play here. He's going to take an official visit to Georgia in June before he wraps up the recruiting process. And I do think that, you know, that's another program that is in I wouldn't say desperate need. They're not in desperate need for anything. They just want it all. But if there was a position that you're like, man, Georgia needs to figure that out, it's probably wide receiver. So selling an IMG kid on something like that is something that he's going to look to as a challenge. And I think that could potentially resonate on the recruiting trail with Carnell Tate. But look, his timeline has changed a couple times, Eric. As you mentioned, I do think he's going to wait a little bit before making that verbal commitment. Right now, he's in the middle of spring ball at IMG. I'm actually hoping to head down there next week to get a fresh look at him. So we'll definitely have more the next time I join you. But yeah, right now this thing does feel like Tennessee and LSU potentially at the forefront of this recruitment. And I thought that's something that we just were so far away from earlier in the cycle. And look, you mentioned people were asking you about Nico every day until he committed. Nico's playing a big part in this, you know, not only from an outsider's perspective, seeing them interact on social media, all that fun stuff. That's great. And fans love it and they'll be all over it. Sure. But when you get into, they've taken multiple visits together, they communicate consistently kind of off the field as well. And they're starting to plan other things together. And he's commented on how he likes playing with him. He likes his ability to spin it. All those things start to really add up. There was a 7-on-7, I think, where they both were able to play locally in Knoxville recently, near a visit timeline. So all those things are not by accident. And you understand, you talk to Nico once, you're like, okay, I get it. I get why you've got this kind of gravitational pull around you. And every great recruiting class has that. And when it's your quarterback, it's about as ideal as it gets. And obviously every wide receiver recruit is keeping an eye on that as they make decisions. And you look at Ohio State, no 2023 quarterback. You look at Notre Dame, no 2023 quarterback. You look at LSU, no 2023 quarterback. Georgia still doesn't have a quarterback, although they're in the Arch Manning sweepstakes as it currently stands. So in that regard, Tennessee is tangibly ahead of the rest of the pack for Carnell Tate. So again, the sooner the better if you're a Vols fan in terms of when he actually makes a verbal commitment, because right now it's hard to project the team ahead of them in the Carnell Tate sweepstakes, which is about as big as it gets for any one player at any one position.
You look at Nico, mentioned him a couple of different times, and Tennessee's got their guy. And we spoke on Nico and his impact on this class, and you know, credit Tennessee for never jumping in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. You know, picking their guy and getting it done early, and letting the rest of the Texas, the Notre Dames, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ole Misses, you know, fight over Arch Manning. And you know, Tennessee's over here with Nico, and they're saying, "Hey, we're good." But you know, on that note a little bit, and I know this could be a podcast in its own, but kind of answer this for me. Compare Nico and what Tennessee's getting to Arch Manning and some of these other top flight quarterbacks around the country. And, you know, Malachi Nelson and Dante Moore. And, you know, so of course, Nico's in that conversation. And, you know, some of these other, you know, 4-5-star quarterbacks that are going to a program to potentially be a program game changer in this class. How does Nico stack up against some of those guys? And ultimately, we won't know until it's all said and done who made the right call and getting the right guy. But I think, you know, right. Nico, Tennessee feels like it's in good a position, if not better position than anybody else, you know, getting their guy early and the potential that Nico Iamaliava has.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And as you just set up, Eric, this class is loaded at quarterback. There's really no other way to put it. So You always give credit as someone evaluating evaluators, if you will. I always give credit to those schools that have that self-awareness to move on and lock in on one guy, even when it's not the big fish over 2 or 3 years that Arch Manning has certainly become on the recruiting trail. And you watch Nico play. I've seen him in person. I've seen him, of course, on tape. And my goodness, the arm talent, it just oozes. I think him and Jaden Rashada probably have the most exciting arms, their actual just right arm ability in the class. So if you separate categories, I think Nico's at the forefront of the arm discussion. He's certainly the tallest of all these quarterbacks that we're talking about here. Personality-wise, which is really important in recruiting, I just mentioned that he does have that kind of gravitational pull around him. I think him, Rashada, Dante Moore probably have that at a higher clip than others. Arch a little bit more to himself. Very much like that with his circle, but when he commits, we'll see how he is about bringing other players to that school, although they'll want to play with Arch Manning anyway, so that might just take care of itself. But in terms of just galvanizing others, I think Nico's right at the top of it. I think where Arch Manning and some of the others might have more on him, Dante Moore as well, those are 4-year high school starters, that big-time programs, Isidore Newman in New Orleans for Manning, Detroit, Martin Luther King for Dante Moore. That longstanding experience definitely holds weight in quarterback evaluation. And you could see that polish relative to Nico, who's a little bit more raw mechanically compared to some of them. So it's just a bit of a trade-off depending on how you want to evaluate this thing. He is plenty athletic, maybe not as twitchy as an Eli Holstein or Chris Vezina among these other top quarterbacks, but he can hold his own from a mobility standpoint. He certainly can play off platform, and he certainly has the frame to add more physicality to an already impressive physical athletic profile as well. So the good news here for Tennessee fans is Nico is either at or near the top in all these categories. So I can't wait to continue to evaluate these guys and try to rank them. We're going to have our first rankings in the summer. We're going to watch the senior seasons like meticulously and then have another ranking in the postseason to wrap up this 23 cycle. But there's no doubt, it's no secret and no disrespect to these other positions, but I'm going to be spending a lot of time on the quarterbacks this cycle, and that's for good reason.
Yeah, it's what moves the needle. And hey, when you come out with your evaluations, we'll evaluate your evaluations next time you come on the show after that. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. Hey, last thing, man, and this is one, and I don't want to say this is an annoying question because I understand it. It's a question I guess I never know how to answer because, you know, I mean, recruiting is, you can get this guy, but you can miss out on these two guys, and it's just kind of hard to predict. But I'm going to ask it to you anyway because I get asked it all the time. Tennessee's got 9 total commitments. It's a top 10 class anywhere you look in terms of the window. A couple of those are top 5 classes right now. A lot of its targets are, having summer commitment dates. Tennessee will get some. Tennessee will not get some. That's recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is this a top 10 class? You feel like this is a top 10 class for you with the potential of breaking in that top 5 when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think this is arguably the top class in the SEC to date. I think Georgia's class is growing and is probably catching up here quickly. Arkansas's got the biggest class. We know Alabama A&M will be on the way, if you will, in the volume department. But I like the foundation of it. We've already talked about the importance of grabbing a quarterback so early. We've also talked about them doing really well within state lines. Love Caleb Herring. I think he'd be the class headliner if Nico wasn't on board just yet. And we know the needs, right? Offensive line is going to be hit hard. I think that group will be bigger here sooner rather than later. Wide receiver, same deal. We just talked about Bryson and Carnell Tate to lead those conversations as well. A good group in state. And then you've done well in the border states, which is always important. Going down to Georgia, getting Ethan Davis. Going into Bama, getting Sylvester Smith at positions of need. Really critical for Tennessee to build those pipelines going forward because no disrespect to the in-state, but you can't just build in-state, classes every single year. That's got to be supplemented by kids from the Atlanta area, kids from the Birmingham area, and you've already satisfied the beginning of those pitches going forward. So I like where it's at, and like you mentioned, running back's going to be solved here in the next couple weeks, we think. I mean, Dante Dowdle's the end of this week, Roderick Robinson thereafter. So there's some top targets coming off the board at a lot of these positions. And I think this year, more than most, we're going to see a lot of kids come off the board leading into their senior year. They want to get this thing locked in before their senior season starts. So I think the schools that are off to strong starts in general, like Tennessee, tend to be able to pick up even more momentum in July and August. And I'd be surprised if Tennessee wasn't still at the borderline top of the SEC, when the season begins. And if you're a Vol fan, where else would you rather be?
Yep, the Locked On Vol family is going to love you hearing that. That's John Garcia, Director of Recruiting for SI, a friend of the program, friend of the Locked On Podcast Network. John, thanks so much, man. And where can we find more of your work?
Yeah, real simple, si.com/college. And you got my Twitter account on there right there, John_Garcia_JR.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. We'll do it again probably next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right. John Garcia, Director of Football Recruiting at Sports Illustrated. That's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Thank you so much for making it what it is. It does not go unnoticed. Your Twitter Tuesdays, your mailbags, all that and more, your participation via the DMs. You guys make this show what it is, and I obviously couldn't do it without you. That's going to do it for this week's worth of shows here on LOV. And don't forget to make Locked On SEC your second listen. Give Chris Gordy a listen. Second listen, Locked On SEC, right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. Want to make this announcement right now. Probably should have done it at the top of the show. But nonetheless, a reminder, there will not be a Locked On Vols on Monday. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. Not sure if I will get back in time to record a show for Monday morning. So no show on Monday. We'll come back, be stronger than ever with Twitter Tuesday on a Tuesday of next week. So no show Monday, just a reminder here. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then from here on out, we're not going to miss another day, guys. Locked On Vols. Thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody.